Okay, we're going to start like in the middle of the page of 194 at the bottom, Nun Gimel on top. Okay? A brief recap of what Alter Rebbe was talking about. He's speaking about various different ways of serving Hashem, corresponding with the angels and the four worlds. Meaning like this. He said before, Atzilus, which is the level of lofty tzaddikim, okay, that is the world of Atzilus. That is the world of total nullification, a total, like he's going to explain soon, total bittul, total chariot Hashem, that they have no will of their own, whatever Hashem wants is what they do. Then you have Jews that serve Hashem with intellectual stimulation, meaning they meditate, they stimulate love and fear of Hashem, and therefore they do the mitzvah. That causes them to reach the level of Bria, the world of Bria, which is an intellectual world of closeness to Hashem. People that serve Hashem just habitually, okay, because this is what they do, but they have some type of feeling for Hashem, but it's an instinctive love of Hashem. It's not something that they feel Hashem, they love Hashem like they love food or whatever else it may be. They go into the world of angels, which is the world of Yetzirah. Okay, this is what Alter Rebbe explained so far. And Alter Rebbe is basically bringing out over here a very simple point that Alter Rebbe is bringing out through the entire Tanya, and that is, it's very easy for a person to serve Hashem properly. Why is it very easy to serve Hashem properly? Because every Jew has this neshama within them. This Jew, this neshama, has within it innately love of Hashem, fear of Hashem, trust in Hashem, belief in Hashem. It has it all. The only thing the person needs to do is to stimulate it, to reveal it. There's a big difference between creating something that's not there to make it there, or to reveal something which is hidden. We mentioned in the past, in the non-Chabad world, the concept of when they say they're being somebody closer to Yiddishkeit, they call it Kirov Rechaikim, bringing closer the distant, the far ones. Okay? The Rebbe did not like that expression, because the Rebbe says, no Jew is far. No Jew is far. They're just a little bit not as close as somebody else. But if a Jew has a neshama, and that neshama loves Hashem, and fears Hashem, and believes in Hashem, and trusts in Hashem, the Jew has it. It's only buried deeply. So sometimes, when you have something covered with dust, sometimes you can blow on it, and the dust goes away. Sometimes you need a little shovel. Sometimes you need a bulldozer. But the bottom line is, it's there, and the Jew has it. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining, because every Jew has this level of love with, of Hashem within them, innately, you have a neshama, you're a Jew, you got it. Though the ideal goal, through meditation, is to reveal an openly felt love and fear of Hashem. Because when a Jew does a mitzvah with love and fear of Hashem, just like we know in life, when you love somebody and you do something for them, you do it much better than if you have to do it for them. Okay? You ever notice you go to a wedding that you don't want to go to, but you have to go. Yeah? The husband and wife walk in, okay, when are we leaving? They're not even there yet, okay, what time are we leaving? You know? Sometimes you want to go to a simcha. Right? You want it, you love it, you want, because you love the people, you want to go to the simcha. There's a big difference. Outwardly, you're there. Outwardly, you're there. You know, you're at the wedding. You're doing it. The question is, the feeling and the spirituality of it, that can matter if you have a good feeling for it, if you have a love for it, or you don't. But you do it anyway, instinctively, by nature. So he says the ultimate goal of serving Hashem is to create a revealed love and fear, which, by the way, you have within us anyway, because the neshama has it, to reveal that level of love and fear, that the Jews should serve Hashem with love and fear. What does that accomplish? I'm just covering a lot of ground over here. What does that accomplish? It's the analogy that Rebbe and Tanya gives of a bird. You can have a body of the bird. The body of the bird is alive. You can even shecht the bird. According to Allah, it says, if you clip the wings of a bird, yeah, it's not a treifa, you can still shecht it, and it is a kosher bird. Because the bird is alive. What does the bird miss by not having wings? It can't fly upward. It could live, but it doesn't fly. When a person does a mitzvah coldly, okay, they have the body of the mitzvah. But if you don't have love and fear, love is the right wing, fear is the left wing, that makes the mitzvah fly up to the world of Bria. If it's a natural, instinctive love and fear that you're doing the mitzvah with, but you don't really feel it like we love physical things, but you do it, yeah, somebody, I love Hashem, so I'm going to do it, but you don't love it like you love physical things, that are also wings that make the bird fly to Yetzirah. The mitzvah goes up to the world of Yetzirah. If you do it with openly meditated love and fear, then it goes to a higher world of Bria. If you do it with the ultimate level of nullification that you don't exist, you're doing it because Hashem told you to do it, which is, as he says, very few tzaddikim, then it goes up to the world of Atzilus. Then it becomes much loftier in the accomplishment of the mitzvah. Okay? That's what Dr. Rebbe is explaining until now. So now let's see inside. He says like this, Achmi like a little bit above midway in the page. But a person whose neshama source is too little, to have this complete avaida, this complete work, to be constantly nullified to Hashem on a continuous basis, only in designated times, when it's an auspicious time in heaven, like at the time of Shmona Esrei, which is the level of Atzilus, because Shmona Esrei, we learned, the various parts of davening correspond with the four worlds. Atzilus, which is the world of total nullification, that's why you have to stand by Shmona Esrei, because standing is the concept of bittul. But you nullify yourself to somebody older, greater, more powerful, you stand up, it's a sign of bittul. Especially when you bow during the Shmona Esrei, at the first, you know, the barachatos of the four times in Shmona Esrei. So then, that is causing the person to reach that level of atzilus, that level of godliness. El befrat b'yishtachava, especially when you bow, shekol yishtachava b'chines atzilus, because every bowing is a level of atzilus. Ki inyin bitul be'eri is baruch, because there's total subjugation and nullification into the greatness of Hashem. Li yizchoshiv kamei kolei mamish, to be considered like nothing. Meaning like this, when a person does a mitzvah, this is a very unique concept. The Alter Rebbe says in Tanya like this, when the hand takes a pruta, a coin, and puts it into a pushka, for tzedakah, at that moment, that hand becomes completely nullified to the level of chesed of atzilus, which is the highest of the worlds. It becomes completely a merkava, completely a chariot, completely bottle, the chesed of atzilus. The problem by us is, 1 second I can give tzedakah, and the next minute I can do an aveda with my hand. 1 minute I can be learning Torah with my mouth, which makes me bittul, nullified to chachma of atzilus, wisdom of Atzilus, but a minute later I can speak Lashon Hara. Tzadikim are 24/7 a Merkava to God. But he says even low people like us, that their neshamas are not that great that they can reach that level of godliness. Whenever they do a mitzvah, at that moment of doing the mitzvah, that part of your body that's doing the mitzvah is completely nullified and subjugated and therefore one with the highest levels of godliness. What?
It doesn't matter what your thought is.
What?
It doesn't matter what your thought is. Like, you're not doing it. You're
talking about intent or thought?
Right, intent. Like,
not love and fear?
Right.
That's not your thought. That's a different thing. Even though you're not doing it with feeling, the bottom line is, in this world, action counts. Not intent.
Yeah, but how does it, if you said that it's missing then those wings.
Right. So but the mitzvah exists.
The mitzvah exists, but how does it become so nullified and become so powerful?
He says because it does go up eventually. He says even though now it might not, eventually it's going to go up when you do it once properly. It's all going to go up. Listen, you know there's an English expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Okay. A person can have the best love and fear. Okay, I'll give you a physical example. You can love your spouse and your family to no end. Let me see you get away with, but I'm not going to do anything for you though. I love you up to the sky, because up to the sky, but I'm not going to do anything for you. That shows that the love is not real. Because if the love permeates you completely, then it would affect the way you act. And if it doesn't affect the way you act, it shows it didn't permeate you completely. It may not permeate at all. Okay? Somebody can have a pair of tefillin on the table, or Shabbos candles ready to be lit, right? And they could think all the Kabbalistic intents of the Arizal and the Zohar and everything. But they don't put them on. Maybe they have good thoughts, maybe, but that's it. They didn't get the mitzvah. You can put on the pair of tefillin and just strike the match and light the candles and think about something else. Bottom line is, you did the mitzvah. You're connected. And like this, you're not connected. Because this world is an action world.
You're connected on the
mitzvah. You're connected in, yeah. But because, listen, if somebody thinks of killing somebody, they didn't kill him. If somebody says, I'm going to kill you, they still didn't kill them. I mean, in the world of speech, they did, right? But in the world of action, which this world is what we're punished for, the only thoughts, by the way, the Gemara says we're punished for, is thoughts of idol worshipping.
Not
coveting? No. Idol worshipping thoughts we're punished for, and that's it. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. But otherwise, we're not punished for thoughts because this world is not the world of thought. By the way, Bria is a world of thought, Yetzirah is the world of speech, and Asiyah is the world of action. And Atzilus, the highest world, is a world of total nullification. That I don't exist, Hashem wants it, that's what I do. There is no me that's breaking myself to do it. We learned in the past, the citizen explains, there's two types of servants. Okay, we're called God's servants, right? Avodahem. There's what's called Eved Pashut, and there's Eved Neman. Eved Pashut means a simple Eved, simple slave. Eved Neman is a trusted slave. What does that mean? Today we don't have slaves, but we'll call it boss and worker, okay? Boss says to the worker, do something. The worker would rather not. They don't want to do it, but they do it anyway. Right? That's bittul. Okay, I'm subordinating myself to my boss because if I don't, I don't have a job. Okay? That doesn't mean I want to do it. I don't want to do it, and I'm breaking myself to do it. That's one level of bittul. That's called bittul ayesh. or bittul of an eved pashut. Then there's a second level of closeness. He is so attached to the master, if the master wants it, he wants it. It's not that I have my own will and I'm subjugating my will to do what you want me to do. I am so one with you, you want it, I want it. That's called Eved Neman, like it says by Meshe Rabbeinu Chumash, Ki b'chol beisi ne'emanu. So Chassidus explains, what does it mean, b'chol beisi ne'emanu? Well, my whole house is trusted. Meshe Rabbeinu, what was called Eved Neman, if Hashem wanted it, Meshe Rabbeinu wanted it. Hashem says to us, do mitzvahs. I'd rather sleep than put on tefillin, but I got no choice, you know. I'd rather enjoy myself and eat treif, but Hashem says, you got to keep kosher, so I don't. A higher level is, I reached an attachment with Hashem to such an extent, He wants it, I want it. That level of bittul is a much greater level. Level-wise, it's much greater. Huh? What?
Very special.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so he says, as I ikar kviyas nishmas melem abriya, but only sometimes goes tatzilus. Okay, now the Alter Rebbe says another very profound, very basic chassidic concept. The Mishnah says the word schar mitzvah mitzvah. Okay? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. So simply it means the reward of the mitzvah is you're going to do another mitzvah, then you get two rewards instead of one. Chassidus explains it like this. I'm going to explain it first outside before we learn it inside. Schar mitzvah mitzvah means the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. What does that mean? The word mitzvah, the Zohar says, means binding. Why is commandments called mitzvah? So the Zohar says, because the word mitzvah in Aramaic is the word tzavsa v'chiba, which means binding and connection. The reward of a mitzvah is the fact that you became bound and connected to God. Which, by the way, is a phenomenal concept, because what it means is that you become, from finite, infinite, from creation, creator, from limited, unlimited. That means when a Jew does a mitzvah, they actually become one with Hashem. They become bound, connected, bound. That means you become God. You become creator. And the Alter Rebbe says like this. Pschar mitzvah mitzvah. Pirishem mischara neida mohusim madregasa. From the reward of the mitzvah, we can understand what the essence of the mitzvah, what the essence of the connection is. Ve'enonu esik b'nestaris. We, simple people, don't have this occupation, this business in the hidden things. Shem tzadikim agdelim, which is a great tzadikim. Shehem bechinas merkava, which are completely bottled in the chariot and subjugated, completely nullified to Hashem. Rak aniglas lanu. Only what we know is what's revealed, open. You know, we're very simple people. Shachreim kol adam yimshach. A person should be drawn to this concept that what? Leidem nemana, to know truthfully. Muhus umadreges avedas Hashem. The essence and the levels of serving Hashem, b'tchilu urachimu, with fear and love, b'zgalis libay, in a revealed form. In other words, what is our goal? Our goal is not the mystical Kabbalistic stuff. Our goal, the Alter Rebbe says, is to create an enjoyment and a love of doing mitzvahs. And it's interesting, you see this the first time somebody does a mitzvah. Like, you ever see a kid for the first time putting on tefillin at the bar mitzvah? They're all excited and they love, you know, they're waiting up a whole night to do it. Yeah? then what happens? It dies. Because the Ava is not revealed. It's not revealed. The Ad Tzaddikim, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak Abaditchev, it says, when Yom Tov, you know, there's a Yom Tov, like 7, 8 days, whatever, and he didn't put on tefillin for Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, he didn't put on tefillin, he would wait up the night after Pesach, and the night after Shavuos, and the night after Sukkot. He would wait up a whole night, anxiously waiting, when is he going to be able to put on tefillin already? The first night of Sukkot, he was up a whole night, it says, waiting, looking, constantly looking for daybreak, that he should be able to do the mitzvah. This is the level, okay, these are obviously much greater tzaddikim. But every person on their own level has to work with themselves through understanding the greatness of Hashem, by understanding what we accomplish when we do a mitzvah, that we should actually enjoy doing mitzvahs. And this is bichlal, you should know, this is a general attitude in Torah mitzvahs. Is it a burden or is it a pleasure? And there's a mashal which is given that if you have somebody schlepping a heavy load, yeah, he's schlepping bricks, and somebody, and he's, it's really heavy, and somebody says to him, let me give you some more bricks. You're going to scream at the guy, get out of here, I'm not interested. But if you're carrying diamonds, and every diamond that you get you can keep, you're not going to say, forget it, it's too heavy. The more you can get, the happier you are. That's the difference if it's a pleasure or a burden. It's interesting, when the Rebbe was already 90, this old lady, the Rebbe would stand 5 hours giving out dollars, you know, on a Sunday in a row, 5 hours straight giving out dollars. So this old lady, probably close to that age, said to the Rebbe, Rebbe, you know, don't you get tired? So the Rebbe answered her, when you count diamonds, you don't get tired. It depends on the, you know, so sometimes you have, if you have a large family of a bunch of kids trailing behind you, and people in the supermarket look and you say, oh my God, you know, and you say, no, it's a pleasure, right? So the whole question is, what's the attitude? What Al Rebbe is saying is a person could, and therefore should, and really is obligated to create an attitude when it comes to mitzvahs, to be able to do it with enthusiasm and in a felt level of love and fear. Because then you really become connected in a way that you become, from the finite, you become infinite. From creation, you become creator. From the gvul, you become bligvul. And that's a remarkable concept of Torah mitzvahs. So he said, when a person is about to do a mitzvah, they should realize, look what they're accomplishing. They're actually becoming the creator of the universe.
What was the last two you said? After from creator, from creation, you become creator.
You think I remember what I said?
You said
I don't know how old you are, but you know what happens when you get to my age.
From creator to creation.
From creation to creative, from finite to infinite.
One more with
a gvul. From gvul to bligvul. It's just the Hebrew. Gvul, finite to bligvul, infinite. A Jew becomes, you can picture that? You do one, excuse my expression, lousy mitzvah. It's not so lousy, obviously. A Jew actually helps, becomes a partner with God in creation. The Gemara has an expression, and when Torah says an expression, it's not bluff expressions. When Torah says an expression, it's real. The Torah says, and for about certain mitzvahs, you become shutof l'kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereshis, you become a partner with God in creation. A partner means an equal. That's the definition of a partner. You become actually an equal to God, meaning you become a creator. So the mitzvah allows you to go from finite to infinite, from creation to creator. You make another $1 million. It's a lot of money, but it's only 1 million times 1. It's still limited. It's 1 million times 1. A mitzvah causes a person to reach a level of the infinite. And therefore, the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself, the binding. And therefore, every Jew has that ability within them because of the neshama. All they need to do is to reveal it. How do you reveal it? It could be through habit. It could be through natural instinctive love. And the ultimate goal is to do it in a way that you actually feel the accomplishment and feel what you're doing, and therefore you love what you're doing. If somebody is very tired and somebody says to them, you stay up tonight, you get $1 million. Okay, all of a sudden they're going to wake up. They won't be tired anymore. So, using it as a spiritual nimshal, okay, if somebody says, by staying up a whole night, whatever, let's say it's a ridiculous example, let's say staying up all night, you're going to become creator. That should be much more exciting than just making another $1 million. This is an unlimited accomplishment, and this is a limited accomplishment. What? Well, that's what I'm saying. When you learn about it and meditate into it, it becomes tangible. Listen, this is not beyond the ability of a simple person to understand that God is infinite and we're finite. That, 1 minute, that is, we can understand that. We don't know what infinite means because we're finite, so we can't grasp. But language-wise, we understand there is a, what it is, like it says in Chassidus, the expression, we can't know the mahus, but we can know the metzius. We can't know the essence, but we can know its existence. I know I have an neshama in me because I'm alive. Okay, if I couldn't function if I don't have a neshama. Do I know what my neshama is? The mahus, the essence of the neshama? No. Do I know it exists? I know it exists. Okay? The mitzvahs that I have in the neshama that I know. And I feel because I'm alive. Do I understand the essence of the neshama? No. Okay? We can understand the existence of God's greatness. That we can understand. We can also understand that if God tells me to do something and I do it, there is a connection between us. Okay? That's why, by the way, because Hashem is infinite, and we're not, if I'm going to serve God my way, it'll never reach the infinite God. Because no matter what I do, it's limited. Right? As great as a person thinks they are, as great as a person is, they're still limited. So if I'm going to say, you know what, God, I'm going to connect myself to you my style. By playing cards, or eating potato chips, that's my service of God. You'll never reach it. Mathematically, finite can never reach infinite. But when the infinite says, do this for me, and I do it, then I automatically, because the word mitzvah means connection, then automatically I become connected to the infinite. A person can understand that.
Yes, I'm saying, you know, tell someone, I'll get $1 million,
I know, $1 million sounds better. Let me ask you a question. Is it easier to go to school or play hockey?
Depends on the consequence.
Senior ditch day. Forget it.
No, I'm not one that was going to. I don't even know what ditching means.
Okay, when school was off. No, God forbid you didn't do anything wrong. When the school closed because it's a 30-inch snowstorm.
Okay. Not
in L.A. In L.A., if it would snow a half an inch, the city would be closed for a year.
There was a flake.
Yeah, flake, yeah. Okay, now, you can understand that obviously it's more enjoyable not to work than to work. Okay, I'm sorry, let's forget school. You're off from work. Okay, but is that a tachlis? Is that a goal? Why? Because you understand, even though it's more enjoyable not to work, but you want to work because you understand that's what you need to do. It's serving mitzvah the same way. Of course it's easier to make $1 million, but the goal is to become creator.